Now, Margaret Mills is back with more scandal this week. Another tale of scandal concerning...
This week, Scott, it's concerning a lady always known as Daisy Warwick. To give her her full title, she was Frances, Countess of Warwick.
Right, OK. Let's hear all about Frances, Countess of Warwick.
Now, Frances was an interesting lady. At the age of three, she came into a huge inheritance. Her grandfather was an immensely rich man. He sat as a peer in the House of Lords and boasted that in all the time he'd sat in the House of Lords, he'd never got up to give a speech because standing up and speaking in public was the height of vulgarity. So he preferred to sit quietly on the benches and listen to everyone else. Immensely wealthy, and he'd made a will leaving all his money to his only son, Charles, who was Francis's father. Unfortunately, Charles predeceased him. And when afterwards he died himself, the money was found to have been left by his will to his three-year-old granddaughter in a trust fund. Now, can you imagine a three-year-old child suddenly inheriting millions of pounds? She was lauded as the richest little girl in the whole of England, and certainly she would have been, I'm sure. Now, obviously, there were any number of prospective suitors for this little girl's hand as soon as she came of age. The money was in trust and the fund was administered by her mother until such time as she attained the age of 21. As in those days, you came of age at 21 rather than 18. This is the Victorian period we're talking about, round about 1864 when she actually inherited. Now, it's said that her family, the Maynard family, were so disgusted at all this vast amount of money being left to a little girl while male members of the family, shock horror, had been totally ignored, that when the news came through at breakfast time, they lobbed pats of butter at the portrait on the wall in disgust at what Mr. Maynard had done. So you can just imagine these aristocrats sitting around the breakfast table lobbing lumps of butter to express their disgust. Nevertheless, the will went ahead. Frances inherited, and as soon as she was 21, she married. Her hand in marriage had been sought by one of Queen Victoria's sons, no less, Prince Leopold. Rumour has it that Queen Victoria was behind him, giving him a very sharp push in Francis Maynard's direction, which, considering the amount of money, probably exceeded the wealth of Victoria herself. It's not surprising. But Frances turned him down. She didn't like the look of one of Victoria's sons and decided, no, she didn't want to marry Prince Leopold. She wanted to marry instead Lord Brooke. Now, Lord Brooke was a young aristocrat who would eventually inherit the title Earl of Warwick. Frances had grown up to be a beautiful young woman, but extremely indiscreet. It was widely said, never tell her a secret, because she just cannot keep secrets. She was flirtatious, she was lively, she was very indiscreet. And Victorian society had a nickname for her. She was married to Lord Brooke, and so she was nicknamed the Babbling Brooke. Now, the marriage to Lord Brooke was not particularly successful, and she very soon came to the notice of the eldest son of Queen Victoria, the notorious lady killer, womaniser, whatever you like to call him, Edward VII, who was then Prince of Wales. And he started a relationship with Daisy, as she was always known in the family. Now, the Warwicks owned Easton Lodge just outside Dunmo, and they turned Easton Lodge into a centre of society entertaining. And not surprisingly, eventually, the Prince of Wales himself found his way to Dunmo to join in these lavish, very extravagant house parties that were given there. Now, the end of the relationship with the Prince of Wales came about when Daisy Warwick suddenly turned into a socialist and philanthropist. Now, what made her suddenly turn from a giddy, dizzy, aristocratic, social butterfly, only concerned with entertaining, enjoying herself and spending lots of money, into a socialist and philanthropist? Well, we're told that she gave a huge ball at Eastern Lodge at Dunmo, to which the cream of English society was invited. Now, the newspapers were extremely critical of this ball because it took place during the 1880s, when a number of people in Essex, due to the agricultural depression at that time, were experiencing real hardship. And the newspapers seized on this to say, look at these worthless layabout aristocrats spending vast amounts of money on entertaining when their own tenants of their own farms, their own labourers, have barely got enough to eat. Daisy Warwick read this account and was deeply upset. She was upset enough to travel from Great Dunmo up to London to confront the editor of the newspaper. And she came back from her trip to London firmly convinced that the editor had been right to run this story and determined to turn her back on her previous way of life. And she was as good as her word. She started all sorts of philanthropic ventures. She set up a school for the village children. She allowed labourers to live rent-free in the cottages on the estate. She set up schools of industry and training where poor girls and poor boys could be educated to take up useful trades and professions. One of the things that she started was a needlework school, which became very, very famous in the area. And she eventually moved the school to London. And some of the girls who worked on her estate were allowed to go to London to learn at school and then were given work sewing clothes so they could earn a living and hopefully keep themselves. Daisy became very involved with the socialist movement. She was not frightened to speak on socialist platforms, even though she was an aristocrat, and she was sometimes howled down by people who said, well, what do you know of how the lower classes live? You know, you're fabulously wealthy and you're living this wonderful existence in this huge manor house at Eastern Lodge. And they had a point, but things were rapidly turning against Daisy Warwick, and they were turning even more rapidly after the death of her husband, the Earl of Warwick. She'd spent money at such a huge rate that even the vast amounts of money that she'd inherited were beginning to be exhausted. She was involved in all sorts of eccentric ventures. She turned the house and the grounds at one time into a menagerie with monkeys and all sorts of exotic animals running wild in the grounds. And when the house caught fire and most of the house burnt to the ground, as it did at one point, it was said this was a result of one of her pet monkeys racing around the building carrying a lighted candle in its paws. The house was a ruin, but she had no money to rebuild the house, so she ended up living in the one wing of the house that was not ruined. Gradually her money was deteriorating more and more, and she was forced into even more eccentric ventures. One of the ventures that she took up was to go on a speech making tour in the socialist cause in Canada and Australia. So off she trotted to do that. The tour was quite a reasonable success, but of course travelling to Canada and Australia cost money, and she came back even worse off than she'd gone. She then decided that she would collaborate in writing a book about socialism, and she liaised with people like famous socialists like H.G. Wells. Wells, in the end, it said, called a halt to the collaboration when he realised that it was really going nowhere and that he would have great difficulty getting her to keep to the deadlines to publish any book. And gradually things began to get worse and worse for her, but she was still spending money. It's said that her son and heir managed to intercept an order that she'd placed for a whole herd of Highland cattle to be sent down from London, from Scotland to London, to then be transported to her estate at Great Dunmo. And these were the sort of eccentric things that she was doing. Sadly, in 1938, she died and never lived to see the outcome of what happened to her estate once the war had come. Now, because the estate was in such a bad condition, her son, who was had now inherited the title of the Earl of Warwick, had decided to let the estate go. It was virtually worthless. And the estate was taken over by the American Air Force, and they knocked down the remainder of the house. If you want to visit what was the house and grounds, you can still visit the grounds. Unfortunately, you won't find the house because the house is no longer there. But the grounds are very much there, and they're very much worth a visit. It's at Eastern Lodge, just outside the town of Dunmo itself. And you will be able to see in the gardens flowers that Daisy herself had planted way back in the 1880s and 1890s, before she suddenly had this conversion to socialism and unfortunately, as a result, lost most, if not all, of her money.
Right, well, thank you very much indeed. There's a tale there to learn from, I guess. Thank you, Margaret.